What does it mean to be married? Also, what does it mean to start a family? What are these impressions all about? How do you play into the scenario? Hi, this is Pastor John. Thank you for coming to the website. We continue with marriage and Christianity. If we're married and we're Christians, how do we keep that relationship wholesome? Well, let's talk about establishing some family values. I think that's a good thing to do. And this is the first time we're going to go into our scriptures. If you have your Bibles handy, would you please do me a favor and turn to Proverbs chapter 22, verse 28. Got that ready? Talk about establishing some family values as we look at marriages. Pull my Bible out here. Let me read it to you. Proverbs 22 and 28 says, "Do not move the ancient boundary which your fathers have set." Now, the problems that we have in our society today is that many of our fathers haven't set any ancient boundaries. And I'd just like you to go up to verse 26 and you can see the danger of not setting these boundaries as we see our national economy tumble. Verse 26 says, "Do not be amongst those who give pledges, amongst those who will become sureties for debts. If you have nothing with which to pay, why should he take your bed from under you?" Isn't this great wisdom of God? We even see in the scriptures very plainly that God is telling us not to take out loans and pay interest on it. It's right in the Bible. Proverbs 22, verses 26 and 27. And when you look at 28, look what it says. "Don't move the ancient boundaries which your fathers have set." Let's talk about this. Because as we try to establish family values, we should understand that each nuclear family has certain values inherent within themselves, which that family is identified by. In other words, a Christian couple is identified by the values that they set for each other as a family, the values that they set for their children, for the friends that they're going to have, and how they conduct themselves in their home. I've got to admit, since I'm a single man, I don't have the opportunity to live up to those family values that I had when the house was encumbered with two crumb snatchers and a fellow bread winner, Lucy, and the girls. So I'm kind of like on my own, and some of those values I've got to admit have declined in my life. And since you're single, you don't live like you have a family. But I'm talking about those of you that have families. These values are interpreted by the statements that are made by that family. In other words, you can interpret that family by the values that they claim that they have. They go to church, but do they live what they learn in church? Do they carry it to the next level? These are not generalized values. Rather, these values are the kind of characteristic marks that mark the family, put a check by that family and say, there's a couple that I've always seen together. I've never heard them cursing and swearing at each other, putting each other down. These marks by which each family is identified can be called, I like to call them family birthmarks. Each family has a birthmark, a mark that they can identify, that they can be identified with. Here recently, I lost as my neighbors, a family from Great Britain. They were not Christian, but very strong parents in raising their children. Very strong ideas. I have new neighbors next to me. I haven't met them yet. I guess when we're watering our lawns, that time will come when I will say, hello, I'm who I am, who are you? But that family is going to be marked by a birthmark. Now, I have a question. Does your family demonstrate the same kind of thing? And so let's get into the other part of this study as we look at marriage and consistency, because it is a part of family, even if it's just two of you. And we're going to define the family in this way deductively. In other words, a deduction or a conclusion, in that a conclusion is to be absolute and a necessary result for the admission of certain premises. Based upon these particular known facts of what a family is supposed to be constituted as a Christian family, then there has to be statements and or admissions about those particular facts of your family. And can it be said that your family can be identified from the biblical perspective, my friends? Are we to believe that God has provided for us a means of defining of our Christian family? Well, that's what this hour is going to try to answer for you as we sift through these very important things. So we've gone over a few married relational things, and we'll come back to that as we continuously look at it. But let's look at some statements right now that confirm the rights or the right kind of family values, I must say. The right kind of family values. Let me start off by saying, number one, I will always be committed to those within my immediate nuclear family. Now, for those of you that are husbands and wives that are married, no, you're not obligated to help your parents over helping your wife and your children. You help your wife and your children first. I know your parents are dear to you, but you have an obligation to always be committed first to that nuclear family where you're living. Now, if your parent needs help, move the parent in with you. Then that parent becomes a part of your nuclear family. Now, this is where the problem comes in marriage and relationships, because mom and dad get ill, or mom and dad has a need financially, and they are trying to hit you up, Junior, to get that need met. Well, Junior, you got Sally. She's pulling on you to meet her needs, too, and the needs of the family. Who are you going to choose? Bad boy, bad boy, bad boy. What you going to do? What you going to do when they come at you? What you going to do? Bad boy, bad boy, bad boy. Who are you going to listen to? What you going to do? Your mama or your daddy or your mammy or your pappy or your wifey? There it is. You'll always be committed to those within your immediate nuclear family. They get the first divvies on everything. Now, I know this is kind of difficult for some of you that's been living under the rule of thumb or the rule of your mama ever since you married your wife. Your mama's been controlling you. Oh, I know I'm right about it. I see it all the time. You ever wonder where they got the expressions mama's boy from? Secondly, I'll always be committed to my wife, to my children, to my husband, to my mother, to my father, to my sisters, to my brothers. That's the way a family bill of rights sound to me. Some of the reasons that we have problems is because when we're in that nuclear family, we don't see all those different kinds of nomenclatures for the people that's living in there. They're just not a bunch of brothers and sisters, crumb snatchers, taking away your money and your bank account balance. I looked at mine today. It's going down pretty swiftly. I just laughed. I'll always be committed. Listen, I'm only committed to putting a little food in my mouth and commit, you know, now I got bro man staying with me. Got to put a little food in his too. But let's carry this family relationship with others a little bit deeper. My wife, my children, my husband, my mother, my father, my sisters, my brothers, whomever lives in that, you're committed to them. You're not committed to the church. Oh, let me put some emphasis on that. You're not committed to giving all your money to a church. As a matter of fact, you're not committed to giving any of your money to a church. You do that if you want to, as God has so prospered in your heart. oh, I'm a pastor. Well, pastor, well, how you expect to make it? Not by fleecing the flock, sifting the sheep. I don't depend upon people to take care of my life. I depend upon God to take care of my life. Now, what God tells me to do, tell those people the truth. You're committed to your family. Let me give you an example about how that works. You got to pay the rent, and the church has this big drive for the building program. You didn't need that other wing anyhow. I don't know what you voted for it for. You don't ever come to church but once a week anyhow. Anyhow, they need $50,000 to complete that thing. And so now the family is getting ready to go on vacation, and you're going to take the pledge of your family vacation and give it to the bishop for his new wing of the church in faith. Now, why should God give you anything when he's already given you something to take the family on a vacation, to keep that healthy, wholesome relationship with the family? And when did God ever tell you to take all your money and give it to a church? You got it now? I will be committed to my wife, to my children, to my husband, to my mother, to my father, to my sisters, and my brothers. You get it? You're committed to them. You're not committed to anything else. Being head of a family, brothers, is a very selfish thing. Because when you got together with Missy and made those babies, now you're living with it. You also believe in responsible relationships. In other words, within this family unit, you communicate within a healthy environment with all those within the family unit. Not just with the husband and the wife, but those that are within that family unit. You communicate with these people. You have wherewithal on what to say to them. All right. Fourthly, in this statement of the kind of right kind of family values, I've developed a clear sense of right and wrong, and I will guard against the wrong. See, you're in a family now. You've got to understand what truly right is and wrong is, and you've got to be for the right. And you also know what wrong is. It's wrong for you to holler at your kids all the time. You come in from work and you've had a hard day, and you hollering at them. I'm looking at a picture of Mikhail and Leah on my website right now, because I got about 3 monitors going here in the studio when I do this. And Mikhail and Leah, I shot a picture up. Thank God. People are listening to me. I say, send me some more pictures of yourselves. As I talk about family and relationships, I'm going to put it up on the website so people can see how happy you really. Look at those two. Happy with each other. Mikhail leaning back. He's grinning. Look at a smile on his wife's face. She got her man. She happy. She's not playing. Now, I dare him to start fighting each other. He going to hit her in her pretty little face. And she going to cuss him out and call him all kind of dirty, scandalous names. Pour hot grits all down his back. Don't even sound right, right? Because they have a clear sense of what right and wrong is. You can tell by that picture on the website. A clear sense of it. Fifthly, I believe in encouraging as well as establishing spiritual and physical maturity within that family. You encourage it. You establish it. See, you work at that, guys. You work at that, gals. Establishing spiritual, physical maturity. Those of you that are single ladies raising children, you can do it with God's help. Yes, you can. And you don't need the pastor coming by your house spending no extra time with you and your boys. You spend time with those boys. God will give you the wisdom. Hopefully he'll send somebody by there that can help mentor those boys as they become men. Sixthly, I will fight to retain a healthy family unit by not becoming a source of family failure. I like that. Because when you got to fight to retain the healthy unit, that means that you know that unhealthy elements can very easily slip into the family unit. You know what? This is what gets me. Got to tell you guys something. I was thinking about something. A lot of people listen to me on these webcasts. They come and they say, who in the heck is this guy anyhow? What's he talking about? Let me check him out. Let me search him. What's he? What's What's he? Is he a closet homosexual? He ain't got no wife now. Who is this guy? Tell him, I know he don't want to get married again, but he was married. What was his marriage? Go ahead, research my marriage. You can find out what mine was about. Never was a fuss and fight in this house. We never raised our voices or our hands at each other. We never called each other outside of the name that God had given us. And please, don't be using that lame excuse. Well, you married an Asian, you didn't marry a black woman. If you had married a black woman, it would have been different. Oh, is that the way you treat your woman? Is that the way it is in Christianity, that if you marry an African American, that it's going to be different? No, I've always been a Christian man. I married a Christian woman. No, we weren't always Christians. As a matter of fact, when we met, we weren't Christians. We became Christians after we met. No, we didn't have sex with each other before we became Christians because I had some kind of moral scruple and I was just a kind of a guy that didn't believe in jumping into bed with anybody. Why? Because I've never done that when I was a young man. No, I didn't lose my virginity till I was 23. No, to be exact, I don't want to lie, 21. 21 is when I was no longer a virgin. Now, when was the first time you start humping and pumping? Go ahead. Come on. We supposed to be telling the truth, right? You want to find out something about Pastor John, right? Oh, you can't be all that. Yes, I am that. Because I knew better even before I became a Christian. Why? Because I saw in the family that I grew up in that some of these family values were established. So please don't challenge me, especially those of you older people that then live scandalous lives and you're envious and jealous because these young married people are listening to me and not listening to you. What have you done? See, I'm bad with myself. I come across and say, I got a track record that proves what I live. Now, those of you that are older Christians than these young people, what are you living? What can you make a webcast 20 hours in a row and help these youngsters? Will you even think about it? I just thought that I put that in there for the ones that are challenging who I am. Well, I've gone to his YouTube clips and I disagree. You're stupid. You need to go to school. Anytime you disagree with what a pastor that is educated says, it qualifies that you're stupid. Now, in order for you to gain an education, you have to go to school. Set under someone else. And you know what? I came across something and something about Eddie Long's people. You know, he's given those phony degrees. His so-called school or institution is is unaccredited. And people that thought that they had a bachelor's degree only found out that thing that they called a school was never accredited. When I teach theology, I'm not telling them that I'm giving them a degree. I'm just giving them the information. But when you lie to people and take money for them to have them pay for something that they think is legitimate, only to come to find out that the National Board of Collegians would not even see you as a qualified. And I must say this, many of our black teaching institutions are like that. Have no credibility at all. Please don't let your family come out to be like that. Sixthly, I will fight to retain a healthy family unit by not becoming a source of family failure. In other words, the establishing of these kinds of priorities only makes for a mature relationship within the family unit. If you don't have that, if you've never established that, I don't know. See, if you confirm these absolutes, what are the consequences? Let's say, okay, PJ, I've listened to you and, you know, you're kind of bold. You kind of talk to me right in the face. Well, what happens? Well, an undetermined accountability. And let's talk about this. I state that I am accountable to God, but really, am I? See, when you have an undetermined accountability, you just say you are, but then you live as if you are not. I have to watch that because the older I get, I kind of fall into those little traps that I set for myself, and I can't justify what I say and what I do. How about moral effectiveness? I claim to be that moral standard, but am I hiding out? Well, no, you know, are you still looking at pornography, brothers? Are you still looking at it? Are you still sneaking, looking at it on the website and making sure that you're deleting all the traces of it before you shut the computer off? That's what I'm talking about, moral effectiveness. I claim to be that moral standard, but I'm hiding out. How about this? My children will not become confused. You hope not, because double standards prevail. And whenever double standards are shown in the family when you're raising children, what you're doing is you are embedding delinquency. Delinquency is the next thing. See, because you aren't real with yourself. You got to be able to stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of what you've done in that family. I'm going to have to do it. Give an account of how I've lived before my daughters. Quiet is kept. It continues. How